Hi everyone, it's Judy. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. Today we meet with Mike Creedon, who's the Technical Director of Education for InSelectro. Mike's come in to tell us about a brand new industry association for designers that he and lots of industry leaders have launched. He'll tell you how you can get involved and how you can tap into this new resource and help make you a better designer. See you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, so often here I say I'm welcoming a good friend to the On Track podcast, and that's really true. I feel very fortunate to have dear friends and experts in the industry, and Mike Creedon is near the top or top of this list. So, Mike, thank you for coming in. I'm so glad to have you today.
Thank you very much, Judy. Very kind words, and I'm very grateful to just be a part of what Altium's doing in the community and helping designers out. I just really respect the reach and the care that you guys really provide to people doing circuit boards in our industry.
Thank you. We love doing it. Well, Mike, why don't you go ahead and give our listeners a background of your long and illustrious career in design and teaching and now it's electro and all the things you've covered in your...
Well, you were correct in saying long, but for the sake of our audience and completing this video in an hour, I will be brief and try to give an overview. The biggest thing I always try to communicate when I tell about my background is that I'm grateful and I love my position that I've had in the industry. I truly have approached it to be a servant, as a servant would. I've had just a lot of opportunities. I truly started in 1976 working for the automotive industry in the Midwest. I moved around a handful of times across my life, the East Coast, and then eventually settled in 88 in Southern California, San Diego. But I've been designing boards all along. I'm truly passionate about it. In 1993, I started my community involvement. I became one of the officers at the local chapter for IPC Designers Council, mm-hmm. served as a communications and education officer there, and have continued my involvement with IPC. I eventually started my own design service center, which I sold 3 years ago, and that was an incredible experience because it gave me a very broad experience. You know, I've worked for a few CAD vendors over the years, and I worked for many, OEMs designing product. But when you work as a design center, you get a broad experience of what's out there.
Yeah, I sure do.
And so I really appreciate that time. Since selling that, or in the process, I say over the last 6 years now, I've been working with EPTAC and IPC as a CID instructor. I currently have the designation of an MIT, which is a Master IPC instructor, and I teach the CID and CID Plus. I had the privilege to be a part of the team and rewriting the CID Plus training manual and its current value, and it's a collective effort, and I would say that I donated close to 1,000 hours of my time over several years in that rewrite effort, and I don't regret one of them because it's, nice. I believe it's bringing value to the industry. Mm-hmm. And since that time, I've been serving on IPC's executive board for the Designers Council. In the last year, I had the privilege and opportunity to take a position with InSelectro. InSelectro is North America's leading distributor for Isola and DuPont materials, also the Ormet Via paste, the sintering paste. Mm-hmm. And I went to them, and my role there is called a technical director of design education. for that very reason, that Intellectual valued bringing the material science to end users at OEMs and supporting different fabricators as the whole world of 5G and high-speed design is approaching us. We need the best materials, but we really need to know how to get the best use out of them.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we've seen some really nice success stories about that. As a matter of fact, I would encourage people at IPC Expo 2020 is coming up. Intellectual has a really prominent position in that show.
Spectacular.
Yeah, it really is. And we just value what IPC does in the industry there. And Intellectual is eager to be a part of that. Because, again, it's bringing value, I think, to our industry.
I do, too. So. And that booth, by the way, well, thank you for sharing all that. At that booth, by the way, if you do, I will share the link to IPC Apex below, which is
The
first week of February.
The San Diego Convention Center.
Right. And so I encourage you to go if you have a chance. And it'll be like drinking from the fire hose. There's... You know, on the show floor, you can see the connected factory. You mm-hmm. can see, you know, assembly equipment, plating equipment. Like, you can really get a sense of how things are made.
And also along there, too, what IPC does is they host some of their annual committee meetings,
mm-hmm.
Whereby they're collectively, the industry is basically making the definitions and the standards
right.
that we build to across the world. So I encourage people to go out and be a part of that and spend your time and contribute there. I've been serving on some of the design standards, the 2200 series, and sometimes I feel I'm the only designer on that board, so I'm really encouraging other people to come out and partake
Absolutely.
Of that. Yeah.
You know, some people feel like IPC is, for one, if you don't know this already, those committees are made up of volunteers.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you... know your craft, you are more than welcome to join. And I always like what you say, that IPC is an us, not a them, right? And I really like the way you put that. And, you know, I didn't know that for many years. They seem like, I don't know, some, you know, like it's an insider's club or something, and you have to be picked or something. But you really can raise your hand and become part and learn it and learn as well as contribute. So mm-hmm. anyways, want to encourage you guys to do that.
And I thank you for giving me some kudos on creating that tagline. I did it so purposely because my goal was to encourage involvement. So if you're listening, I do encourage you to be involved. IPC really is, it's an us, it's not a them. It's truly made up of that. And we're going to talk a lot, I believe, in this session about IPC. And I really want to say that me personally and some of the people we'll talk about today are ardent supporters of IPC and the value that they bring. They are the industry premier standards.
They define the standards
under their mm-hmm. umbrella. And so I have the utmost respect for them and just eager to be an ardent supporter. So.
Yeah. Well, that was a brief. We could talk about things that you do, but I can... comfortably share with our audience that Mike literally flies around the world teaching CID and CID Plus courses and also teaching CID trainers, so as well as being part author. So he really has contributed so much to design in this industry, and I so appreciate everything that you've done.
Oh, thank you. Kind words.
Well, I wanted to bring you in today, Mike, because I know that, you know, right after the first of the year, that you, along with some other of our dear friends, launched a new design organization called PCEA, Printed Circuit Engineer Association. And so can you tell us about, you know, that launch and what PCEA is, and also who's helping launch this new association with us?
Absolutely. Thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity to share on this. So again, right at the close of last year, 2019, IPC has come up with a new direction for this initiative. I believe they're calling it IPC Design. And in that, they dissolved the existing Designers Council and they approached the executive board.
So IPC Designers Council is no more.
Correct. And essentially, and again, I really want to let them speak for this issue. It's not me trying to tell you what they're doing. I'm telling you my observations on this. You know, IPC, you know, values and respects the designers in our world, okay? And they've essentially, over the last several decades, as I mentioned, the IPC Designers Council was founded in 1990 by Gary Ferrari and Dieter Bergman. Mike Buteau was involved, and there are a handful of people at its inception. I know I started serving in 93, and our charter essentially was to provide a networking forum for designers, and where professionals could collaborate, and also the education. The CID, its origin was written by Designers Council Executive Board members.
Okay.
And matter of fact, it's been sustained over the years by Designers Council Executive Board members.
Okay.
So you can imagine perhaps we were disappointed when we were dismissed or dissolved, whatever the word is most comfortable with. We were a little dismayed by that, but we understand, and I have some insight as to why they want to go in a different direction, and I think there's some very good reason why they're doing so.
Okay.
But nevertheless, you know, being dissolved, we were some of the, and we still are, some of the best advocates for IPC, as you heard me mention earlier. Mm-hmm. So kind of being dismissed was, you know, something we had to get over, but we value being of service. And we, as a result of that, you know, conferred amongst ourselves and we conferred amongst the existing chapters that exist. And those chapters exist because of the effort that our Designers Council has put out.
Right.
We're the ones that have formed them and supported them and sustained them. We had very little support in that effort, but we plowed forward anyway.
Right.
And so conferring with everyone, we still feel we want to be of service. I know the IPC design really has a focus on reaching, you know, young designers in school.
Okay.
And part of the STEM initiative and some of their TAEC, you know, structures, they truly want to reach people coming into the industry, which is of great value. And that's a beautiful strategy that they're approaching.
Yeah.
And they, I believe, still want to reach existing professionals out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying they don't. But at this point, though, most of those existing professionals have looked to us because they have for the last couple decades.
Right.
And with that, the Printed Circuit Engineering Association was called that because essentially, whether you're a designer or a double E doing it, as Alzium certainly knows, the demographic has changed. It is an engineering profession.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we really want to focus on that. And we're not conferring a degree. That's something you're going to get in your university. But we do want to defer to the fact that probably, what, maybe 80% of those performing layout today are degreed engineers.
They are.
And so we're deferring to that as far as a name goes. So our...
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is going to happen now? You mentioned that, you know, you are all part of, you know, keeping CID coursework and CID Plus. So, you know, hopefully we'll have a chance to learn more. I'm going to share in the show notes, by the way, there in iConnect 007, they have the Design 007 magazine. In that magazine, what prompted me to do this podcast was in that magazine, IPC did an interview with Andy Shaughnessy talking about IPC design and their new move. And also Mike and his group also announced the launch of Printed Circuit Engineering Association. So I really wanted to, you know, share this information with you all. So what do you know what's going to happen with the CID? Who's going to keep up that coursework? What's happening to all that with the dissolution of Designers Council?
Well, so I do want to answer that question. Before that, I wanted to address that who are the charter members in the new organization, I may, because along in that 007 article, Steph Chavez, who was one of the legacy members in the Designers Council Executive Board, will be one of our charter members moving forward. And so those charter members were actually published out there. Mm-hmm. And the list, I'm kind of looking at here, so I am looking at my notes a little bit, lest I leave somebody out. You know, Gary Ferrari, Rick Hartley, Steph Chavez, Susie Webb, Kelly Dack, Sherry Liston, Bob McCreet, Scott McCurdy, Luke Hauser, is essentially the charter members, and they exist coming as CID instructors and those people serving as chairpersons for the different design chapters that have been built over the years.
Okay.
And so they're the charter members moving forward. Now, we actually have quite a few new ones.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk a little bit about some of the directives later.
But okay.
I did want to state that because I know Steph Chavez has been writing articles for UP Magazine and iConnect 007, mm-hmm. and will continue, except we'll be doing it under the banner of the PCEA, Printed Circuit Engineering Association.
Okay, great, great.
So now back to your question.
Okay, and again, as Mike alluded to, that article I will share in the show notes before, so you can read for yourself. You know, the article, so we mm-hmm. don't have to get so deep in the weeds. So back to CID, what's going to happen to it? But who's going to keep that up? Are you going to continue to teach? I mean, all the people that you just named are CID instructors through EPTAC, which is contracted through IPC because it's IPC's material. So do we know what's going to happen to all that?
Well, I've learned that I can have opinions and I can have as much forethought as I want to the future. I really am always trying to just focus on today, and I find that's a good recipe for living a happy life and trying to hold integrity in my life, which is what I value. The CID, just to give it a little bit of a plug, if I may, because I really believe in it.
Yes, we'll put that in the show notes too, all EPTAC's
nice.
CID courses. I forgot to mention that.
The CID is a basic and an advanced module, and it attempts to bring an education content to the printed circuit engineering profession. And there's just not a lot out there. There's a lot of micro content and there's content building because of what is the transitioning of the labor force and the thinning of the design ranks, mm-hmm. and engineering ranks. The CID is valuable, okay? And it teaches essentially, and we had the executive council created a proposal of the definition for what a printed circuit engineer would be, and it mm-hmm. will be released in the 2200 specification, the entire series, and essentially is summed up in what Steph Chavez has called the designer's triangle, which means that when you're solving a printed circuit, you need to look at three perspectives simultaneously, and that's a solvability, that's a performance, signal integrity, power delivery, thermal, etc., and then the manufacturability.
Mm-hmm.
You can never sacrifice one or two for the sake of any.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a balanced approach to truly get a high yield type of board.
Right.
And so that was kind of the content that the CID is based on. And it's a knowledge base type of program. And so what will it be? IPC, and this perhaps was one of the, winnowing type of discussions between the executive board and IPC. IPC, through their policies and procedures, has a wonderful program that they're building their ISO certification to.
Mm-hmm.
And this allows international recognition of their certifications.
Okay.
So it's phenomenal that they're doing that.
Uh-huh.
And one of the points of contention is most of their certifications typically are geared towards operators. Okay, so you have a $1 million factory line.
Right, right.
And you have an operator.
Right.
Or an inspector.
Right.
You need to certify a knowledge base and a competency.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to put somebody on your line that is not competent. You can know something, but if you're not competent, shouldn't be on the line. And so that's incredible, and we applaud that. We tried to explain that there is some difference because when you have a design engineer, doing printed circuit engineering, you can teach them a knowledge base, but it becomes difficult to certify competency. And the reason is twofold. The subjectivity of the nuances of design engineering, mm-hmm. okay? In other words, a 50 ohm line in a digital world is not a 50 ohm line in an RF world. So that's a subtle nuance, but you have to teach the differences and know when you should apply different things mm-hmm. and how to make trade-offs. Mm-hmm. So the nuance of PCB is a significant variable. The second point that makes certifying competency, as you guys know well, mm-hmm. and that's CAD tool proficiency.
Right.
Okay, you can know everything, but if you cannot, I mean, I consider myself a very seasoned designer, but there are some CAD tools I'm better at than others.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's probably a long ways in my history, but nevertheless, aside from talking about me, certifying that type of competency is something in it, you know, that I know you guys look at very seriously because you invest a lot into your user base to truly, let's just say, enable them to be proficient tool users.
Right, with the tool. But that doesn't mean base PCB design fundamentals,
correct.
Right? It's tool related. And I've always said that you can give a really sharp kid any CAD tool and they could make a trash board. And not completely innocently, because the CAD tools are very powerful, but they don't say when to stop and not do stupid things you shouldn't do for practical manufacturability, reliability, and all those kind of things.
It truly is a balance. You know, I mean, the expression is, to draw an analogy to drive the point, is because I know how to use a socket set, that does not make me a mechanic.
Right.
And because I'm a mechanic doesn't necessarily mean I know how to use some of the most state-of-the-art computer tech software that's used on today's automotives.
Right.
So you see there's a duality there that makes it difficult to certify competency.
Yes.
And so that was probably one of the guiding parameters that they sought to go in a new direction. And what I do want to say is I've drawn a little bit of a distinction.
Right, but gone in a different direction how?
Well, they're interested in having a recertification of your CID.
Mm.
Okay, so, and I wish them success with that. You know, I can't think of many engineers who would want to recertify their bachelor's degree. And some of the logistics.
How often are they talking about?
I believe that they've suggested 2 years. So, again, they'll speak to all the specifics of how they roll this forward. So, I mean, I suspect that they're potentially rewriting the CID. I don't know that. I know that us, the original writers of that, we're not doing it anymore.
Right.
Although we actually have a new release.
But you're still teaching out
there. We're still teaching it, and we're committed to teach that until they tell us not to.
Okay.
And we'll teach it with excellence, and we'll teach it with the utmost respect to the premier position that IPC holds in our industry.
Okay.
Make no mistake of that.
Okay. Well, for our listeners, if I can find anything out there in print, you know, if IPC has a position on this, I will share the one article, but I have a feeling there'll be more forthcoming as this sort of shakes.
Yeah,
it's probably still shaking out, so, because I'm sure you're going to want to know about it. Okay. So you guys were basically against, and you know, Ben Jordan and I did a podcast. In fact, I think I'll share that in the show notes as well. It came up on our forums here at Altium, and it got a lot of people hot under the collar. Like they were mad about the idea of recertifying. And so you're sort of in that camp, like, you know, once you get your degree, you don't have to keep getting it, right?
Well,
it's not like.
So, I mean,
an operator.
First of all, I would encourage those who emotionally are looking at this. I would encourage you, the charter members for the Printed Circuit Engineering Association, we're encouraging all people, let's be professional, let's be positive. I love IPC. I have for years. Mm-hmm. And there's always bumps in our road, and that doesn't mean that I'm ever walking away from them. I hold too much respect for them. Mm-hmm. And again, it is our goal at Printed Circuit Engineering Association to be ardent supporters. And as they seek to roll out a kind of a new direction for this, mm-hmm. we want to figure out how we can be in support of that.
Okay.
And not work in any way that is competitive or
counterintuitive, right?
Yeah, or counterproductive.
Counterproductive.
Yeah,
we really
don't want that. We believe in being good IPC citizens.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So tell us about, let's move now to talk about what exactly PCEA is and the vision you kind of hold going forward as you launch this new association.
Sure, thank you. And again, I appreciate this forum to, you know, explain that to our listeners and to the forum that Altium brings to the OnTrack series.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. So again, our focus is Printed Circuit Engineering Association. It will be a nonprofit, 501c6 type of organization, and all our affiliated groups will be, you know, for example, PCE-OC for Orange County, or PCE-SD, or PCE-RTC, the Research Triangle.
Okay.
And or Washington. So there's a handful of very large existing groups that are eager to be associated with us.
Okay.
They each have the ability to be independent and continue to operate as they have.
Okay.
And they like that. They value that. It's our goal to associate with all the different three-letter acronyms that are out there,
right.
You know, from, okay, I'm going to name some four-letter acronyms, IEEE, SMTA, IPC. There's a handful of associations and users groups, for example, the Altium users groups. We really want to partner and support them however we can.
Right.
So that's a little bit of our structure.
Okay. So you'll have regional groups then, and do you anticipate new groups being started as well as you move ahead, or is that something you'll be sort of promoting or putting out there? Or
Absolutely. It is our goal and within our, you know, our ongoing definition or charter type of thing to truly make this effective. We have several international groups already have expressed a strong interest in being associated. We're calling it an affiliated group.
Okay.
And so they maintain some of their own, autonomy with that. And freedom to operate. They can be their own 501c. But we do want to have an association whereby we support them.
Right.
And so we have actually quite a few new groups that have been springing up.
Oh,
and
great.
Across the, you know, first the United States, and then we've reached into North America and into Asia and in Europe. And we're not forcing people to kind of choose between different groups. We're really not trying to play territorial.
Right.
To us, it's not a competition. It's really more about enabling
mm-hmm.
the design, the printed circuit engineering professional.
Okay. So what is your sort of key mission and charter besides the regional groups? Like, will you, in other words, will you put any other additional educational format out there? I mean, the group of you that are on the charter members represent literally hundreds of years of PCB design expertise. So I'm sure everyone would be eager to sort of tap into that. So, you know, how's that going to work?
Sure. Well, again, our goal is to essentially we want to collaborate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And to borrow one of your words, which we feel is inspiration, is we want to inspire people to truly be the best professional they can.
Mm-hmm.
And we do want to bring education and content. Our industry has that need, and I don't want to feel competitive about education.
No.
Too late in my career to want to feel competitive.
Yeah.
I truly am applauding anyone who does bring educational
mm-hmm.
content.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal is, first of all, our membership will be free. We have considered at some point what we are calling a value-added membership, whereby if there is a membership fee, it would be doubled by value-added content. you know, whether or not that is a discount through an educational seminar or, you know, attendance at different, you know, educational events that are across the nation.
Okay.
We're seeking sponsorship and endorsements out there. And it's not really sponsorship for money, because again, we're a nonprofit. Really, it's sponsorship for involvement. What opportunities and what enabling can you bring to our user base, our membership base?
Right.
That's really the sponsorship we're looking for.
Okay. You know, just sort of, you know, finger to the wind right now, about how many people are sort of in your database now, or people you have a contact that you'll sort of begin this launch with?
Well, whenever you throw out a number in our industry, people start going, ooh, ooh, because it's like a value commodity. Okay?
Right, yeah.
So I actually am not going to give you a hard number, because
okay.
it makes it a competitive, subjective thing.
Okay.
But I can tell you that, I'm going to go with an approximation of 500 to 700 people are in the different user groups and association who have expressed an interest of
okay.
being a part of it. So joining our group, you're truly putting yourself amongst what I would say is the backbone of our industry.
Right.
You know, and our purpose again is to empower you, the printed circuit engineering professional, mm-hmm. to improve your career and truly bring value to your company. That's our main goal. There's nothing to be sold here, but it's truly of that. And when I say engineering professional, it's not just the printed circuit engineer or designer doing circuit layout or schematics. It's really also manufacturers, material providers, magazines who disseminate information. It's truly, you know, software providers. We've had great type of endorsement from
mm-hmm.
those people who are in those ranks,
right.
you know, from assembly to manufacturing. We're truly reaching out to everyone, because it's through the collaboration, you know, that make us better. And
right.
we kind of really don't need to own and dominate the world. We don't have that mentality. It's truly to enable the professional.
Yeah, well, you're sort of singing my song and Altium's song, you know.
I get my cues from you.
No, I think I get my cues from you. I don't know. Synergy, anyways, in that we can't get the education out more quickly enough.
Right.
And that needs to happen both in person, which is, I think, the most powerful way to do it, but also digitally. And I really applaud that you're bringing, you know, we're so disconnected and we get in these little silos. We always talk about being in silos with manufacturing, assembly, testing, whatever it is, where we really need to collaborate. And so mm-hmm. I think it's really great. And there's always a challenge with a company like Altium, because we are a for-profit company, you know, mm-hmm. so you're always looking under the sheets, like, what's your motive?
Right.
Like when are you going to ask me for money? And actually, that's not why we're doing either. We're trying to empower and give our users a better experience, so they,
yeah.
you know, and hopefully they'll continue to use our software as well. But we really believe in closing these gaps and sort of moving towards what we think will be industry transformation by bringing these things together. So I really applaud what you're doing, and I'm glad to hear that you're really thinking about all the stakeholders and not just,
yeah.
you know, one little piece of it. So, how can designers or secondary stakeholders get more information? Have you? I know it's early days, but have you had a chance to get a website up yet, Mike?
We have.
Oh, okay.
PCE-A.
Okay.
PCE-A.org.
Okay.
Okay. We're a nonprofit organization, and the dash is essentially, again, our different affiliated groups will be able to have their own website. Again, as I mentioned, it might be something like PCE-OC for Orange County or something to that effect.
Okay.
You know, several of those different affiliated groups, they do some very significant things. For example, the group that's in Raleigh,
mm-hmm.
North Carolina, incredible group of
yeah.
professionals there. And they truly are bringing one of the larger trade shows on the East Coast through that that body. And so we want to enable them to truly do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. The Research Triangle area is just a hotbed of development.
It sure is.
And those guys are truly, guys and girls are truly enabling those people to participate in it. And they're facilitating that trade
mm-hmm.
show.
Mm-hmm. That would be... PCP Carolinas, right? Is that what it's called?
Correct. PCP right. Carolina. I believe right. it typically is held in the first week of November.
Okay.
And so if you're on the East Coast, I highly recommend checking that event out. It's truly, there's content there. And
every year I hear more and more. I think it's growing. I think people...
It is.
It's I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 people show up or whatever, but people rave about it. So it's really growing. So yeah, I recommend
and
it
and
as
And
well.
A few others. Up in the very northwest, the Lake Washington, you know, chapter up there, Tim Mullins and that group of professionals truly have partnered with the university, okay, and they truly have been hosting their community up there and involving students from the very beginning of their career,
mm-hmm.
and they've had great success doing that,
mm-hmm.
and of course. The group in Orange County, under the leadership of Scott McCurdy,
mm-hmm.
Terry Kleekamp, I always, forgive me if I goofed your name, Terry Kleekamp, their leadership up there has really brought one of the larger affiliated groups to the industry, and they bring in content. So the purpose is really the same as, you know whether it's a seminar, a workshop, or a technical professional development.
Mm-hmm.
I know like Susie Webb, Rick Hartley, they're basically itinerary type of educators.
Right.
And you really want to get them in and get that kind of knowledge on one of their seminars. I know UP Media has sponsored Rick and Susie to do a lot of educational things.
Yeah, just PCB and, Today, by the way. Put that in the links in the show notes too.
So
yeah, let's plug all this stuff together. This is great.
Our website though is in its infancy.
Okay.
You know, you always have to learn to walk before you run.
Yeah.
So if it's not the most elegant to date, it'll get better. What you can do in there is if you're interested in joining one of the affiliated groups in a region by you, do so. You can literally respond to that. There's an email link of send information there. We will not be marketing the user's distribution list at all. If you're also interested in forming a group in your region,
mm-hmm.
we're eager to support that effort. You know, so that's anywhere around the globe. We're eager to support that
mm-hmm.
That effort.
Would you like to hear from potential sponsors, maybe, Mike?
Absolutely. And again, our goal with sponsorship is, and so I can lean in as we say this, is really money is not the objective. The objective is the collaboration and the inspire. We truly believe that, you know, that money occurs when it's of value. Okay?
Well,
so I'm not
focusing
on the money, but I want the endorsement and I want the involvement.
For sure. And for potential sponsors out there, sometimes the best thing you can do is just offer a facility to hold a meeting.
Correct.
You know, I'm so happy that Altium has allowed me to, you know, buy lunch for some of the IPC Designers Council. I would certainly do that for PCA meetings. 'Cause this is our community. We should, of course, support the community in which our customers live.
Absolutely.
And just support the design community is just the right thing to do. So
I'm going to segue on that.
Okay.
Because Judy's always modest, and I can actually sometimes get her to feel embarrassed when I plug her.
Oh, God,
but
here
I'm
we
applauding,
go.
Judy, what you've done. I believe your title is Director of Community Engagement,
mm-hmm.
and you've truly done so with an altruistic intent and execution. You're truly doing that. Does Altium benefit from it? Absolutely, they should. They bring value to us. But you've not sought after anything other than the betterment and the enabling of the professional that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a role model. So when I say we're taking our cues from you, I'm very serious about that. And so sorry to give you public praise
Thank
like
you
that.
Thank you for making me turn all pink. But, well, I love what I have the privilege to do because I've been in the trenches for so many years mm-hmm. as designers. I know what they do is hard and challenging, and I really respect the work. But that alt him allows me to do that instead of going, Judy, a dollar in, $10 out. You know, like the ROI. Yeah. That they really have been they've allowed me to be altruistic. It's mm-hmm. it's in my heart to do, but they've really, you know, let right. go of the dollars, right? And let me do the really small things. And shouldn't we all be doing that, by the way? I mean, I think all CAD vendors should be doing this.
Well, I think sometimes the most effective leaders in industry or in any organization are the reluctant leaders. You're not out trying to really, you know, toot the Judy horn.
Mm-mm.
And you're even going so far as to not necessarily toot the Altium horn. You realize that value will come to Altium.
Absolutely.
And it's the same approach that we're taking at the Printed Circuit Engineering Association. My goal is not to become the chairman of this. I'm eager to, you know, I do a lot of public speaking, so I'm eager to be here and add a voice to this and encourage participation, but it's not to be the leader of this.
Yeah.
I don't have a financial vested interest in it. After selling my business, I'm not seeking after money. I'm truly seeking altruistically to educate our community,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that value is heard, that it's legitimate. And so most of the charter members, no, I said all the charter members, have that approach to it.
Which I love, which is why I love all of you. And I also love that you're really leaving a legacy, right, by investing in your fellow engineers or younger engineers and passing that baton of knowledge and experience and things that you've acquired over a course of many, many years. So I love that. Did we cover what your sort of near-term goals? Was it, we might have covered that.
I wouldn't mind kind of going over it. I mean, we actually had published this. There is a monthly communication that exists in both the iConnect Design 007
mm-hmm.
publication and UP Media's PCB Design publication. Highly encourage you to be checking that on a very regular basis. It's not only is it informative, but it gives you that communication, and we're hoping with all that you're inspired to improve your career with it. So we will be publishing a monthly column in both of those publications.
Okay.
But along the line, essentially, you know, we do have some action items that we're trying mm-hmm. to pursue
mm-hmm.
In our first quarter. And I'm encouraging people to be a part of this. You truly can be getting in what will be the first year of, we believe, a very successful organization mm-hmm. in our industry. The enthusiasm I've seen from people who are endorsing this already, and I'm trying to keep the name dropper to a minimum. At this point, I want the waters to settle a little bit.
Yeah.
But we are eagerly seeking involvement. And that is an endorsement in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be very cautious to be proclaiming name dropping. It's not about that.
Right.
It's really about adding value to those who participate. And so that's the biggest thing is, so get involved. Go to the website. We're doing all the business-related things to, you know, truly, we have legal counsel to form, you know, a corporation,
right.
et cetera. But our goal is to truly have a working relationship with the associates that already exist, you know, from like an Altium users group
mm-hmm.
To an IPC design council. Again, they're doing a lot of efforts in all the universities. We're here to support that. The IEEE. SMTA are both associations whereby professionals are involved because they can add value to their end employer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
okay, well,
yeah.
I'm a fan.
Thank you kindly.
Yeah, I'm so, well, thank you so much for filling me in and our audience in, because I think it's a really exciting development. And I'm sure there'll be more news coming from IPC Design as well, and see how that will all develop. But I appreciate your professional coexistence, and that sort of taking this and doing it, like you said, in an altruistic way and really helping the design community, because we really do need more education in that. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank
My
you
pleasure.
For taking time out of your busy morning to come see us and be on the podcast today. So thanks
glad
so
to
much.
Contribute, and thank you very much.
Okay, and keep us posted. Hopefully in a few months you'll come back and you'll give us an update.
Agreed to do that. Love to. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Judy.
To our listeners, thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed learning from Mike about PCEA. I will put all the links in the show notes so you can go check things out for yourself. Please remember to like, subscribe, and comment so we know what you want to hear about next time. We really appreciate you. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.